The Mountain General Water Special Service District to order at 6:03 PM. We've got the recorder going.
Hey, yep, we're all set.
Okay, looks like we have a forum here. Do we have any public input tonight? Doesn't look like it. Okay, item two, do we need to go into an executive session?
We do, yeah.
So we need a motion.
I move that we move into executive session.
Is there a second?
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Okay, that was unanimous. We're going to switch the recording. We're going to stop it. So now we've restarted the recorder and we are back in open session to item three, the consent agenda. We have minutes, check register, POs, and I don't know if there's anything else on there. So, were there any comments to the minutes? Doesn't sound like. Any questions on the check register?
I saw we had a return of an impact fee to Iron Mountain Associates.
That's just their quarterly reimbursement.
Oh, okay. So that's not that they stopped building something.
Can you remind me on Gorgoza? This was for the water line relocation?
For the second half of that agreement, yeah, for the water line.
Okay, so then we have two purchase orders tonight.
Yep, they're both related to the treatment plant. One is for, if you remember last year, we replaced the membrane modules in two of our skids. We've got four skids, so we're doing the other two this year to complete that project. And then the carbon is just our scheduled buy every other year. We do a regen on our carbon for the plant.
Okay, are there any other questions on the consent agenda? So we have a motion to approve.
I make a motion to approve the consent agenda.
I second it.
Karen made the motion. Tim seconded. All those in favor?
Aye.
Okay, that was unanimous. So moving on to item four, we have questions on the department updates. I like just going around the table. Do you have any questions, Karen?
I had a couple questions on Scott's report.
Okay.
Was there a cell phone issue that required us to change the policy on cell phones, or was it just...
It's been an ongoing discussion. It stems from that personal use policy that kind of crept up through the legislation last year. What I recommend is that we as a district move towards just a reimbursement for cell phones to the employees and get away from administering a cell phone plan.
That's a good idea.
There's, for a lot of reasons, privacy issues, and, you know, it's much cleaner, it's easier. So Lisa and I will be working on amending our policy to move in that direction. You can't just call up Verizon and terminate, you know, 20 cell phone plans. So right. it's gonna take some time to get through it.
My other question was, you said that new well production was not as high as projected.
That's unfortunately correct. So, you know, the long story short is that there were two steps to this process. One was a pilot exploration hole. Things looked really good. The second step is completing the actual well. Included in that step is a mandatory grout or sanitation seal at the top of the well from the surface down 100 feet is the requirement for it to be a public drinking water source. Unfortunately, through that process, we think we sealed off a bulk of the production for the well. You know, the long story short is the numbers I received as of yesterday are 50 gallons a minute, which is, you know, much less than our hopes of 200 or 300. So unfortunately, it's a it's the nature of the beast with well drilling. You know, is what I keep hearing. When you drill a well, it's a gamble, and you know, we didn't come up on the plus side, it appears, at this point.
Is there any way to access that portion that you think was blocked off, or?
Not in the same, you know, not in the same well. You'd have to drill another one. So there are some things that you can do. I don't think it's, I don't think that they're going to be very fruitful. They did lower the pump today. They were pump testing this afternoon. I don't have the latest. I'm hopeful that maybe we get to 100 gallons a minute, but at this point.
Because the highest air level is from the bottom of the hole.
Yep.
But it might be have a different head potential than the upper portion of the hole. So dropping the pump and testing it from the bottom is the next best thing. That's probably the best number it'll get from the well at this point, is those numbers from this afternoon.
Yeah, and Neil said that the situation was looking better, but I don't know what better means yet.
Because the upper portion of the hole, even though they used more grout than what was originally projected in their calculations, the drawdown was fast enough that there wouldn't be a sustained yield from the upper portion where they thought a lot of that water was, that might have been impacted by the grouting of the 100-foot seal. So there's not much you're going to do with that. But the lower portion of the hole where they had airlift results that were closer to 200 gallons per minute, that's the best hope, is dropping the pump down into that level. So
So that's kind of where we're at. Really what it means for the district is we're gonna have to put our thinking caps on, and we're gonna have to get on top of some source development. You know, I think there's maybe one or two small projects, but I think really we got to start focusing on how we fully utilize the Lost Canyon system. So kind of stay tuned.
Okay.
I'm good.
Yep.
Yeah, what was Pine Meadows Mutual Water Company? Where is that?
It's a small water company that's up Holgate Canyon. So you familiar with that area?
Mm-hmm.
Number, I don't know the exact number, 800 lots or so up there. And they have ample water supply for now, but not enough for build out, and they're looking squarely at us to help them with that situation. We're interconnected with them now, and it's a logical step, you know, but we have to work out those details. You know, we don't have that, you know, we don't have that source today to provide to them. Their position is that they would love to contribute in any way that they can so that Mountain Regional is their source of supply in the future.
Is that why Bill Laughlin was looking into that well across the highway there?
I asked him to look into that
related
for
to
other
this?
Reasons. Okay. It's not related to production so much as understanding how to handle it with respect to our asset inventory with the division and things like that.
Yep.
What
else
you got
there?
That's it. Okay. Mr. Schofield.
Okay, mine's a high-level question. So I saw that you did the engineering notes this month.
Yep.
So are you dual-rolling right now with Julie out of the
picture? A little
bit. Is that appropriate, and how long can you handle that?
It's fine for now. I'll let you know if I'm calling Uncle, but it's fine for now.
I think you've got some pretty significant issues on your plate at present. If we could minimize that or shed some of those responsibilities to others, I'd suggest that if possible. Because for the review we just did, we think you're doing a great job, but we'd like to keep focused on that and not jump back to doing your own role as well.
Okay, that's fair. You know, Brian's jumped in and helped out on some of the engine, you know, our 2020 projects. You know, Brian's taken the ball and ran with that stuff. So I'll, you know, I'll lean on others as best I can.
Leverage where
you can. We interviewed a candidate yesterday.
Yeah.
And we're currently in the recruiting process, and I think we have potential to hire someone in the near future.
Good.
Like in the next week or two.
Is that Sam?
Potentially, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Cool.
That's it for me. Yeah.
So Bob, did you have any department update questions?
Yes, that was In the technology report, we made a reference to the billing meter issue. Is that what we just discussed in the private session?
No, that's a separate topic, Bob. I'm going to move this mic a little closer to me here so maybe you can hear us better. The state requires that we report our water usage data.
Right.
And they want both different entities at the state. The Division of Water Rights wants our, you know, source production numbers. The Division of Drinking Water wants our consumption numbers because they're going to start to use that for source and storage sizing requirements to make sure, you know, systems have ample source and storage.
Right.
We have a mountain of data, and really what Chris is getting at is a data integrity effort that we've been working on, a number of us internally, to make sure that no matter who's pulling this data, they're coming up with the same answer, and the answer is accurate.
Gotcha.
So Steve and Doug are primarily focused on that, and we're near completion on that, I believe, right, Steve? which I'm excited about because I rely on the data heavily, so
gotcha.
It's a good thing.
In the ops report, it was mentioned we had two water main breaks in Summit Park. Is that just part of the ongoing issues that we have up there? And were these complicated by going across people's driveways and that kind of stuff?
No, it was just business as usual up there.
Did you hear that? Brian said business as usual. Standard mainline breaks in Summit Park, no property damage.
Okay. And then in your meeting with Weber Basin that you referenced, was there anything from Summit Water or from Weber Basin itself about the quantity of water or the pricing of water?
I've gotten no feedback other than thank you for the contract, we'll review it. From Weber Basin.
Okay. Anything of note that came out of the wildfire meeting?
Those are coming up. I just have those scheduled.
Okay.
So I'm spearheading a couple stakeholder group meetings, and I'll keep you posted on the results.
Okay. I don't know the Pine Meadows water system. Where is that? What all is that about?
That's a system that's up Tollgate Canyon, which is on the opposite side of I-80 from Promontory's North Gate entrance.
Uh-huh.
It's a small water system. They've got 800 lots or so. They've got enough source for today. Long term, they need a sustained source of supply. We're interconnected with them, and it's always been contemplated that Mountain Regional would work with them on that. They're willing to, you know, contribute in any way necessary. They are just trying to secure an agreement, a source of supply, you know, not necessarily tomorrow, but we're one of the only entities that can help them out of this situation due to where they're at.
Gotcha. And I noticed in the check register we had a fairly large payment to a Gorgoza.
Yep, that was the second half of that waterline agreement payment that we landed on last year to be able to use their waterline.
Yep, okay. That's all I had.
Okay, very good. Thanks, Bob. I think that really covers everything there. So item five is financial management. We said Steve and
we'll go over January and I'll go over year end.
So we did get 2020 off to a good start, revenue and expense wise. I'll try not to talk revenue and usage at the same time because they're so directly correlated. We used about 10 million more gallons, or customers used about 10 million more this January versus last January. 5 million of that was the Olympic Park. They completed all their stuff, so they were making a lot of snow. That they haven't done that before in January. So that was that generated quite a bit more revenue and usage than we expected. The other $5 million in increase came from basically residential use. Not only did we have growth through the year, but also those users in January used more than they did last January. Large residential and residential, each connection was using about 400 gallons more. The condos and townhomes went up quite a bit, obviously. We planned on that with the community water coming on. But it was still a little unexpected that we'd have that much additional usage.
10 million gallons more on about how many was it last year?
Last year was 25.9. This year, 25.9 million. This year was 35.9. So yeah, so that was
36 to 36.
Yeah, so as a percentage, that's a pretty big jump. So we'll have to just watch that as we head in through the spring and into our busy months. It is interesting how much the usage in winter is very common between large residential, residential, townhomes, and things like that. Obviously, the disparity comes in the summer when large homes start watering large commercials, obviously.
Does it help to check back to that flushing test to see, you know, how full town is and if it correlates? There are just a lot of people here.
Last year we did that. I have to admit we haven't looked this year to see if it was just a lot of people in town. But that would be a, for example, large residential, we added about 8% growth of just large residential, but usage growth was about 13%. So if it had been 8% usage growth and 8% customer growth, we would have thought perfect. They're using the same, but there was still additional usage on top of those growth. Yeah. So that's kind of the revenue and usage side. On the expense side, we were under. Oh yeah.
Quick. So the Olympic Park, I get it. Is that likely to be an annual kind of thing?
We think so going forward, because much like Woodward, pretty consistently makes snow.
They just did an expansion up there, which is why I think we're seeing that additional usage.
They put a ski area.
Yeah, they put a ski area in, and they had put snow on it up there. And so likely it'll get more usage out of that going forward. So I don't think that was an anomaly. It was just a first time for us kind of seeing it.
Right. I think it was also delayed. It was my understanding the UOP didn't have, that there was track maintenance going on and they didn't actually hold a World Cup there because the ice wasn't ready in the earlier part of November when we do usually see high usage. So it almost shifted a little bit.
They have doubled their snowmaking capacity.
And then the snowmaking capacity on top of it.
Okay, so January looks
So January looks great. Expenses were low, but you know, don't read too much into that. It's January, you know. But so that looked good. New connections were right on the average. 6 new connections. Impact fees continue to be lower as a per each, though, because of the use of prepaids and promontory and our new impact fee study, which we all remember dropped the impact fee for not only promontory but everybody. So. That's part of the plan, 500, why we dropped the budget of revenue on that. So that's the connections. The gallons that I was talking about, you'll see there, in 2019 for MRW customers, it was 25.9 million gallons, 2020, 35.9. So at first we were like, what the heck? But then we were able to back into why that all happened. So that, so that was good.
That does take into account the Home Depot adjustment on usage too. So those numbers.
Okay. Yeah, the Home Depot we have really in January there. So that's just kind of a little more of an explanation. You know, it'll be an interesting year to watch because we had a record hot, dry summer in 18, had a record cool, wet spring in 19. So one year it'd be nice to have average and know what average is. But we won't count on that.
But we have community water. Yeah. Which is throwing, you know, and we don't know what a typical usage pattern is for that community. So we're, you know, and they haven't been metered. They're just getting most of their meters installed now. So these last couple of years.
So part of that just could be customer growth. Because really, I take a look at that and I think that doesn't seem right for January, you know?
I know. I mean, that's the same. Obviously, that's my gut. And obviously, with what we experienced with Home Depot, it makes me nervous.
Yeah.
Is something going on here?
Yeah.
You know, half of that is the UOP. But I mean, I've had Steve into these numbers because I'm like, I want to know that it's community water and, you know, condos and townhomes, which makes sense. We're going to have to watch it. We're reading on Monday, or Monday?
Yeah.
We'll get reads. So we'll pull February's usage, look at that. Does that make sense to what we were seeing in January? You know, what's a big holiday weekend? We, you know, that read encompass.
We'll get President's Day.
Yeah, Christmas, that's New that Year's, February. Sundance, President. So I would expect it to be similar in usage.
There's usually a little bit of drop in February and then into March again, you know, just. But yeah, we'll keep watching it. You know, the growth in residential and large residential helped explain a lot of that, and I didn't see any spikes in any particular customer group. It seemed a very across-the-board type of thing. So, but yeah, there's a little bit of a double-checking everything going on in our office right now, if you haven't picked up on that, so.
When will all the meters be in community water?
Probably not until summer, late summer. We've got.
Correct.
Okay, that's.
Yeah.
All right.
So yeah, the capital, we're getting off to a good start. We did order the truck. We ordered a vehicle for the office. We started to put a lot of money into the community water, a lot more than we spent this year, obviously, with Hen Creek. And we've dug the well, but we haven't paid for the well yet. They haven't invoiced us. And just the other projects a little bit further down. You know, we're going to do the project up in Summit Park and the other upgrades that are already planned in the capital budget. But January is a good start. Let's hope we keep it up.
Okay. So.
Good.
Thank you.
You bet, Steve.
So it looks like we've got an audited 2019.
Yep, I just have a preliminary December 2019. This report was generated before we knew about the Home Depot adjustment, so these numbers don't have that in there. You'll have the 260 off revenue. Really, that's where the big differences are. We added a few more, about 45,000 in additional expenses since last week, and I'm still waiting on URS has to provide us with the pension adjustments we need to make for the year. I'm still waiting on that information. So I'm hopeful to get that in the next week or two, which I can finalize our trial balance, and I've been in communication with our auditor to try to get schedules going, and they'll be out for field work mid-March.
So we are going to make the adjustment for Home Depot back to
2019. Yeah, okay. That's what we're going to do. As you can see, we came in, our change in net position is about $3.3 million. That's before we added some transfers for our systems, contributed capital that came on, so our total change in net position is 5.1. Again, you'll have to take off about 0.3 for the Home Depot adjustment. But we were still above budget on our revenue, and that's gonna be, we'll look at it later, but it's primarily related to impact fees. We essentially came in on budget, even with the adjustment. We came in on budget on revenue. I'll say operating revenue. Expenses and expenditures, we were significantly down. We've been talking about this all year. Really, payroll, we didn't replace some positions, and we had lower R&M expenses than we anticipated. As compared to last year, that revenue line, really that reduction is primarily due to the SID assessments we collected from Promontory. We paid off that 2009 bond at the end of 2019, so we no longer have those collections, we no longer have that debt. We can walk through the revenue. You just go down a little bit.
Yeah, sure.
So you can see the breakdown of that total revenue of $12.6 million. You'll see we had a positive variance in retail water sales that will now go away. So we'll have a look. We'll show under budget by about 11,000, under budget on raw water, and under budget on the parks and amusements. With that development-related collections really being the driver of the significant revenue variance to budget on those impact fees. As compared to last year, we know we've been down. It was a cooler, wet spring. Retail water sales and Promontory raw water specifically. We talked about development-related collections related to SID. You can go down to expenses.
So I guess
One second. So it's good that our development related was up, but it kind of carried water sales.
And the other thing, if you remember, we made an amendment to the 2019 budget for revenue to the tune of about $268,000.
I know, it's like the numbers are.
And I mean, luckily convenient. We did that adjustment. when we were thinking we were going to be over, we were trying to be, you know, conservative with it, but we ended up needing every bit of that adjustment. So it ended up working out.
So I guess as far as that goes to maybe water rates, that does that make us want to focus on that part of things more on the water sales side?
Yeah, I mean, well, like I said, we definitely have built in a different usage number when we've been looking at usage patterns in commercial. So when we will need to adjust our rate model for the usage that we were thinking was going through Home Depot, when we look at our rate model and rates going forward. I don't think it's not going to be something that's going to drive a huge increase, you know, next year. But we need to fix that. We need to correct that in our model going forward. District expenses, total operating, we have about $8 million in $8 million in expenses. We were anticipating about $8.8 million, so we came in about just $763,000 under budget, primarily in operations, maintenance, and repairs. We had lower repair maintenance costs, lower personnel costs, and power with the lower water usage that we experienced last year. And then as compared to last year, it was really due, we did carbon and membrane replacement this year that we didn't have in there last year, offset by just normal increases in lease fees that we had, and power costs, etc.
So those two POs tonight, those will go to 19?
Oh, these are in 20. So we did carbon and membranes last year, and we'll do carbon and membranes again on the other two this year. On one tank this year, and then on the other two skids.
Two tanks and two carbon.
The other two that we didn't do last year.
Half last year.
And then we have a reserve for that. So we'll use money out of that reserve to pay for that. Non-LM&R was under budget about $173,000. That's due to the reduced staff in public service. And we transferred an employee from engineering and development permanently to the distribution system after they helped us out in the summer months. We decided that was a better spot for him. Financial management was up slightly as we added a full-time CFO. And then you'll see on the non-operating side, really our interest expense was lower than we originally budgeted. That was due to the advance refunding we did on the 2019 A bonds, and lower than last year again for that refunding, but we did offset it with bond issuance costs that we had this year that we did not have last year. You can keep going down. We'll go over cash. Our cash position at the end of December was $14.4 million, an increase of $800,000, just over $800,000 from December of 2018. You'll see we had a decrease in operating cash reserves. Our operating cash reserve balance was very high last year because of that very hot, dry summer. So we were sitting at a little bit higher days reserves. That's come down to 267 days reserves, but it's still well above our policy minimum of 120. So we're comfortable with that balance where it is. Debt reserves held by the district has gone up. That's primarily related to impact fee collections. We'll continue to use our impact fee reserve to pay debt, and then we've got several capital projects that we'll be using impact fees for this year. So that we'll see that balance drop this year, and we're also forecasting a much lower impact fee revenue number for this year, only $500,000. So I anticipate that will come down significantly. Debt reserves held by the trustee increased slightly from 2018 due to that advanced refunding. We have another bond on our books, and currently sitting at $841,000. That's what the required levels are pursuant to our bond covenants. That's what Zion asked that we have in the bank for those bonds. Capital facility reserves were up slightly from last year. We put 5% of our operating budget into that reserve every January. So we just transferred 5% of our 2020 budget in there. And then we use that for projects throughout the year. Last year we used it for our meter replacement program. This year we're gonna use it for Summit Park. So it's just to help keep us with a good reserve on hand for these projects that we need to do. So that balance will also come down as we use that for Summit Park. Other restricted cash, those are our customer deposits. We are sitting on a pretty significant customer deposit balance right now. So that means there is building. We still see stuff in the pipeline, so that there will be building and more connections coming on as that balance is a little bit higher than we've seen recently.
They pay the deposit, we in fact pay the same time, but then about a year to a year and a half later is when they actually start using water. So
that balance is high. It makes me think we've got some connections that will be coming on soon. And we've seen a lot of impact fees, so it makes sense that balance is a little bit higher right now.
And is that like an average of 1,500 a 15. Unit? Yeah.
Okay, if you can go down to the next section, Scott. Customer growth for the year. We were at 145 new connections, 177 units. We were up pretty significantly from last year, and up a little bit, 17% from our four-year average. The other thing to note is total collections. Well, we were at still, levels close to what we've seen previously in the prior years at 1.12 million. The average per connection was down. We talked about having prepaids being used over at Silver Creek, and also a lot of promontory units have come in recently, even in January, and those just have a lower impact fee than they see. So those prepaids, that will continue on into 2020 as Silver Creek uses prepaids for projects over there. And also our impact fee came down. So, but we're forecasting half that amount for next year. So we're anticipating that decline. Okay, water consumption, here's the top part's just December. It's pretty normal. Really we can focus on the year to date, the second column. And that's kind of where we've been sitting. We've been sitting right around between 4% and 5% on MRW customers. Above our four-year average, less than 2018, we've been looking at millions of gallons or acre feet right around our 2017 levels. Promontory Golf, we know, has been significantly down, and Park City ended up taking just over 2,300 acre feet, which is what we were anticipating. We expect that to be even higher next year as they use that plant while the other one's offline. Summit Water took 800 acre feet. That's our total. I think that's, you can go down.
It's 14% for water than last year.
Park City?
Total is 14% over the four-year average.
Steve talked about a little bit our capital projects. Community water, we talked about what's going on there. All of our system improvements were capitalized with the exception of Glen Wilds, which rolls over and will finish in 2020. Our meter program is finished. We've capitalized that. The Silver Creek EPA line and the ones at the bottom there, Willow Creek, Summit Park, River Basin Interconnect, and our land acquisition will all be rolled over to next year. Our land acquisition, that was for the well site, so that is done and has been capitalized. We just have the office site that will roll over into next year. I think that's it. Any questions? I also provided a We talked about cash, pretty much the same information that I had in the summary. If you have any questions.
Okay, well, thank you. It sounds like 2019 was a really good year. It was just up a little bit from 18.
Yeah, it ended up being, we're in a good position. Our debt service coverage is still, even with the adjustment, we're just under 2. So we're still, we're still where we need to be. Our expenses, were significantly lower than we anticipated. So that kind of drove a better debt service coverage than we had originally planned. We've tightened up that up a lot in 2020, so we're not going to see those kinds of variances. It was just, there's a lot going on last year. We didn't quite know how things were going to shake out in the middle of 2018. So now we know, and I think we have a better handle on personnel and R&M, and we should be able to budget that a little bit better.
Well, very good. Thank you. Looks like you guys are really running the ship nice and tight.
We're trying.
Okay, on the item 6, we have Dave Thomas here. Data Repository Infrastructure Agreement.
It's a very, very short update. We have an agreed upon agreement. It's now out for signature from Promontory.
So you're almost there.
So Dave, I'll just wait. Should I just wait for Sean to respond with their signatures and just insert those signature pages and then just update it? Okay.
And then date it and then send them a copy.
Okay. The real quick overview of that for those that may not remember, this agreement includes the repayment for the property that we decided not to pursue any further, a deeded parcel for well 15B, an easement at the treatment plant that will become a deeded parcel once Chris does the subdivision plat and gets it approved with the county, easements on 2 pump stations and 2 wells, and then some additional waterline easements.
Okay, well that's a lot of cleanup work. That's hard to do.
Yeah.
Okay. Item 7.
Yeah, what are we up to now? To my section here. So, Mike, do you and Karen want to talk to A from your perspective, and I can kind of chime in? Is there anything you want to add about the meeting we had with the council and Tom?
I think if the 2 representatives that we spoke to the other day were the representatives that were at the meeting with Summit Water, we would not have had the issue that we had last year.
Yeah.
Which, so.
Yeah, I think Doug, Clyde, and Glenn Wright are
super supportive.
Supportive of the district's position. We're moving forward with the rate study, and we're staying the course on our plan.
Yeah, they like the idea of doing the study. Okay. I think that's very accurate.
Anything else on that?
Well said.
Yeah.
Bob, do you have any questions on that item?
No, I heard. I think I got everybody's comments. That sounded good.
Okay.
Is there an update on the search for the entity we're going to help with the rate study on?
There is. I think we may have skipped over that. So, yeah, back in section 5. We have met with both Zions Bank and Lewis Young. What are the other names?
Robertson. Something. Young. It seems to be Lewis Young. That's how I remember.
Right. Had 2 good meetings with Zions yesterday, Lewis Young today. A bit different in their approaches, but I think no matter which way we go, we're going to get a good product. They're going to submit proposals over the next week,
okay.
And then we'll select based on those proposals.
Cool. Okay.
They don't think it should take an exorbitant amount of time. They're within what budget that we expect. They I think both of them said this isn't something that's really, really complex, and they think that they can. We've done a lot of the legwork, let's say, already, so they can take our model and validate some things. Ask a few different questions, maybe look at something a little bit differently, and I don't think it's going to take a lot of time. So we may be a little bit ahead of our schedule as far as timeline to get this to the board.
So they were thinking a month, couple of weeks, month. Okay, that'd be great.
So we'd be ahead of ahead of the original timeline that we presented, if that's the case.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Very good.
Do you want to talk about that other party line that you had sent us?
No.
What's your thoughts on that? Okay. Weaver Basin contract. The only update there is that we had originally talked at the last board meeting of a 650 acre foot number in 2024, and I said I'll go back, talk to the community development team at the county. We've reduced that to 600 acre feet to give us a little cushion, and I sent that to Weaver Basin, just waiting for their red lines or comments or signatures.
Okay.
The update on the staff engineer candidate, we have applications in from about 246 or so parties right now, two from out of town and out of state. There are two that have expertises that, you know, aren't a great fit, one in environmental remediation, one in energy assessment primarily. There's one from a previous county engineer that I don't believe worked out real well for the county. And then there's one from the Division of Drinking Water who applied at the last round when Julia was selected. We interviewed that candidate yesterday. That interview went well. Lisa and I are gonna review all the submittals tomorrow and determine if we need to interview anybody else. And then go from there.
Very good. Okay, anything else?
Yes, the last update I wanted to provide is just about Marty. I meant to lead off the meeting with this. She is starting to feel better. She is back home.
I assumed maybe she was just gone for the baby.
No, she was in the hospital for a while. She's been really sick.
Oh.
So thankfully she is doing better. She stopped in a day or two ago to say hi. So we're hopeful in another, I think it'll be another couple of weeks yet before she's back, but she is doing better. So that's all I had.
Didn't know that. Okay, well, if there's nothing else, we'd be adjourned at 7:07.
Woo!